home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob.
And I am Garrett most of the time. And Rob is telling me not much tonight because he says that I'm crackling up like a bad cell phone connection. And in my headphones, I sound great. So I know, but I know it's not him. I'm getting the same report when I'm talking on my cell phone too. So hopefully you guys can hear me tonight.
We can somewhat. When you start going terrible, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, no, we're in trouble.
Gosh darn it. I am so mad. I even cleaned my headset with a little alcohol. I actually just rubbing alcohol over it and crossed my fingers on an owl, but that seemed to help a little bit before the show, but not a lot.
Yeah, I'm a proponent of believing you can't clean up too much. I think that can be done.
Well, I think it's probably because I have the big boy microphone that we're using for the show. You've got one, and that's, and thanks to you, I bought mine, so now we can be all, fancy and official. But then I use the same headphones for my iPad for when I'm working out, and then also on a cell phone I have as my desk phone here at the office. So, I have a feeling that I'm having too many connections with it. So I think that's what's making it happen. That just takes me back to years gone by. I worked at a telecom company and I had to unplug my headset and then plug it back in. And every once in a while I'd say, we can't hear you. The connection's terrible. So anyway, folks, it's terrible tonight. I'm trying to be good over here and I can usually tell it's terrible. So anyway, so how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good. It's been quite a busy week with, lots of stuff going on, but especially out in the world with the election and the aftermath of the Orlando shootings, which was, tragic, and the sit-in yesterday by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. I mean, it has been a busy, busy world this week.
I was going to ask you, how did your show go last Saturday when you were doing the Orlando program?
It was really hard, to be honest with you. The mood was obviously deep and somewhat dark, and I think we kind of went deeper and darker, which was, I guess, what needed to have happened. But we had a very good conversation. We went through a lot of the issues. We started the show by playing Anderson Cooper, reading all of the victims. And if you haven't heard his video of that, he cracks up, his voice cracks, not cracks up in a funny way, but his voice cracks and gets very emotional. So that kind of set our tone, and it was a heavy show. I think it's worth a listen if people want to listen to the recording, though.
Very good. That's, of course, out in Santa Cruz. We've got a lighter show tonight. We have back guests, and we'll talk about what's going to be happening this Saturday on Santa Cruz a little bit later. But our first guest is Mr. Josh Ballinger. He's the creator and actor in a new web series called Dumb Luck. That's going to be happening next. And then at the half-hour mark, we're going to be welcoming Leon Acord. He's the creator, actor, producer of the popular web series called Old Dogs. They've got a mini movie that's coming out this Saturday at debuts. I have a small part in it as well. It's a pivotal role as the waiter. But I'm very grateful that I got to be part of that. But Leon's going to be on a little bit, and we'll be talking to him as well. Rob, is there anything else to bring up the listeners need to know about before we welcome Josh?
I think we about covered it. So we've got some things coming up in the future, but I think we covered the time being right now.
Right on. Well, without further ado, pleasure to welcome for the first time, hopefully the first of many times, Mr. Josh Ballinger. He's the actor and creator of Dumb Luck. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Now, can you hear me okay? Or am I completely in your ear too?
It's kind of crackling up as though you're like driving through the top of Griffith Park or something. But I can hear Rob fine.
Okay. Nan, nan. Oh,
Rob, take it away.
That is blonde Jesus. I am nan-nanning, and he might part the Red Sea or something on me. So, have to be careful. Josh, we're really excited though. Your series looks really great.
Thank you.
You only have the one episode out so far, is that right?
Yes, it's going to be 10 episodes. We've already filmed the first 3 episodes, and they'll be coming out every 2 weeks, every other Tuesday. So the first one came out on Monday. The next one's going to be coming out on the 5th of July, and the third one will be coming out the second Tuesday after that, and every other Tuesday from then on until the Tuesday before Election Day.
And so what a coincidence.
Exactly. We really wanted to take advantage of the fact that there's kind of, it probably isn't too much to say, poisonous atmosphere surrounding the election. And I thought it would be really fun, one, to have something that's political, but two, something that's light, that kind of makes fun of a lot of the stuff that is just so awful in our politics today.
Right. Well, set us up a little bit. So the series revolves around a gentleman named Aaron Free.
And, Aaron Luck.
Oh, Aaron Luck. Why did I write Free?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well,
I have no idea. Luck. Yes, of course. Luck. Aaron Luck. So what happens to this gentleman, and how does he end up where he does?
Well, his day job is that he's a not very successful motivational speaker in a small town in Iowa, and decides to run for his local city council in this fictional town of Maple City, population 30,000, and gets elected only because of really low voter turnout. There was a bit of dialogue that is in the it's in the trailer, but that ultimately got cut from the first episode. They'll bring it back later in a subsequent episode explaining this, but he barely eked out a victory against somebody's dog who was a write-in candidate. That's how he got elected. And although he really has no business being on the city council because he got so few votes and doesn't know what he's doing, he's full of really big and dumb ideas, hence the name Dumb Luck. And the other members of the city council who do know what they're doing make every effort to rein him in and stop him and keep him from doing these stupid things unsuccessfully as the series goes on. It's obviously fictional, but it's based on a number of politicians who I have observed up close over the years. no single individual, but kind of a composite.
Well, it really is. It captures a mood. I mean, you watch it, and I get the same feeling watching it that I do from watching some of the real politics that are going on now, where you're watching somebody and going, they can't get away with that, can they? I mean,
right, exactly.
Shouldn't they be done now? And they just, the Teflon thing just kind of keeps on going. What is the serious vein behind this for you that you really hope people take away at the end of the series?
The serious vein is that it really does matter what elected officials do. They have all these ideas, some good and some, you know, frankly, harebrained, but ultimately they get elected and they have the ability to do things. And sometimes they get away with doing things just because no one's paying attention. And really, we as citizens have to be actively involved, not just voting, although obviously that's the principal thing that we can do, but also being educated and actually knowing what is going on in the world and what our politicians are doing and what those things even mean. One of the ways that my character gets a lot of the mileage that he gets is just by spouting platitudes and quotations from famous people that he doesn't need to know what they mean, and kind of like buzzwords. And as you saw from the first episode, his plan is to make English the town's official language, although he has no idea really why or what that would mean or what that would do or how that affects other people. And in the subsequent 2 episodes, that kind of gets developed, and you can see there's an undertone of the other people in the episode, in the series, realizing how really dangerous this guy could be, but he's just completely oblivious. He's like Donald Trump without the mean streak.
Yeah, the parallels, actually, it's really a very brilliant depiction, because there's definitely a parallel there, but it is very original, and you know, he is his own character. I actually have something here that, if you'll humor me for a minute, because I did see a, I don't know whether it was Facebook or Twitter, but there was a message that went around that Aaron Luck is actually anticipating he might get vetted for one of the VP positions.
Exactly.
With the either, well, I think it was, he was hoping for Clinton, but you know, it might be Trump. Who knows? So I've taken the liberty of pulling together a few practice questions for you. If
okay,
you want to kind of field them for, you know, on behalf of Mr.
Luck
there. So so if he gets vetted and this comes up, because the Supreme Court is going to be a very important factor here, who would Aaron Luck nominate for the Supreme Court if he had that decision to make?
Well, I think that he would first discuss the issue very seriously with his principal advisor himself, and would pick somebody who would be really, really good. He'd be good, believe me. Whoever it would be.
Great. You know, I don't want to influence you, but I really think that would have a lot of legs in the Trump campaign. You know, that answer. Just saying. Okay, so let's say Mr. Luck does get picked, and he is VP. Then, of course, we know that he's one heartbeat away from, you know, the big job. And if something happened to whoever happened to be sitting into that chair, then he himself would have to pick a VP. Who do you think he would look around, and he can't be it himself, but who else would he pick as his vice president?
Well, Mr. Waggles, the dog who barely lost to him, would certainly be a good second choice. God forbid that that somebody like Aaron Luck would ever be president or vice president.
Hey, we're a little close on that happening right now, let me tell you.
We are. yeah, you know, in all honesty, that's as I've been watching the teasers that Donald Trump has been putting out about who his vice presidential, or not who they might be, but the fact that he might make a decision, I've been kind of scratching my head wondering who that could be too. So I'm a little bit in the dark as to who it could be, but it would probably be somebody equally clueless, some sort of Scott Walker type person.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wouldn't that be interesting?
Okay. Yeah. Let me see. I think I have one more for you. Oh, yes. This is my coup de grace VP vetting question for Aaron Luck. Donald Trump said he would mandate "Merry Christmas" be said by everybody when he's president. We're all going to be made to say that. What would Aaron Luck mandate people say? And we know it's going to be in English. We know that.
Oh, yes, it would definitely be in English. I think it would probably be for everybody to stand and sing "Hail to the Chief" whenever he walks into the room.
There we go. Okay, very good. So you, taking off your Aaron Luck hat, you had a very pretty poignant message out about party unity. Since we're in kind of the political sphere,
mm-hmm.
Did you want to comment on that in terms of the Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, when I was first promoting the series, I got a message from somebody saying that somebody who I've known somewhat well for a few years, who before even looking at the trailer said, before I look at this, is this anti Hillary or anti Trump or anti Sanders? And I said, it's not anti anyone. it's a web series about a fictional character. And he said, okay, well, because if it's anti Bernie, I would know, and I wouldn't watch it. And I thought, seriously, you wouldn't even expose yourself to something that would be a point of view different from your own point of view. And as we continued this conversation, which consisted of me saying, what is it exactly that makes you so angry about Hillary Clinton would be the other Democratic candidate, obviously. What makes you so angry about her? And his response was just two word goodbye, and then he defriended me on Facebook just for asking what is it that makes him so angry. And there are two things that are so horrifying about that. One is that people are unwilling to even talk to somebody who has a different point of view than them. But two, in this case, I never even said what my point of view was. It was just the very idea that there could be a different point of view out there that would keep somebody from even thinking about engaging in a further conversation with somebody, you know, who's allegedly a friend. And you know, now that I was happy to see Senator Sanders yesterday say that he accepts the fact that he's not going to be the nominee, and certainly I hope that people who have been supporting him, who did an amazing job getting him as far as he did, accept that too, and realize that, you know, partisanship and politics is one thing, but the health and future of our country are another. And it's just inconceivable to me that somebody like Donald Trump could ever be president, but it is, I mean, there's a 50% chance at this point. So I hope that people put their anger and whatever it was, from the primary season behind them and really take seriously what we're facing.
Yeah, I have to say, it's one thing when watching, the episode of Dumb Luck, and appreciating the satire of it, but then watching things that are very parallel to that going on in public, that there are hundreds of thousands and millions of people who don't take it as satire. I mean, real podium. What do you feel about that? I mean, that must have an impact on you.
Well, it does, and one of the reasons why I have chosen the ideas that Luck has throughout this series is because I think that anybody watching this series can realize how ridiculous his ideas are, and talking about it outside the context of a real political candidate or a real place with real people, and allows people to see it more objectively because it's fiction and really kind of I hope internalize the stupidity of it, but as to how I feel about it, I mean there's nobody who is even Native Americans came apparently from Asia, so there's nobody who just sort of sprung up out of the earth here in the U.S. We all came either recently from somewhere else or a couple generations back from somewhere else, and more importantly, we're all human beings. And to deny people their just fundamental humanity and treat them as though they are as some sort of pestilence is beyond any sort of political issue, it's just as a human issue, it's horrifying.
Truly, truly. What can we look for from Aaron Luck coming up? Would give us a little some teasers as to what may befall him in future episodes.
Well, without giving too much away, you know, he as you know from the first episode, he's decided to make Maple City's official language English. And over the next three episodes, that kind of plays itself out. He then comes up with another idea that's in a similar vein, or that plays itself out over the following three episodes. But as it goes through the series, these things which should be so damaging to him because they're such stupid ideas actually wind up working out really well for him. Just because people are not as engaged as they should be, and the other members of the city council, the mayor and Councilman Bingham in particular, who realize how dangerous he is and tries to stop him, wind up kind of disintegrating as Luck becomes more and more successful, which is, on the one hand, from the series' point of view, really funny, but on the other hand, kind of a darkly serious, real possibility when those, you know, for real people who are in those situations.
Right. And in some ways, it's already, we've already seen it happen. I mean, in theory,
yeah.
You know, we had Chris Christie and Jeb Bush and, mm-hmm. you know, several kind of political heir apparents that were entering the stage, and, you know, you pretty well just drew a parallel of what happened to them.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah,
wow.
I mean, I think that this, I'm hoping that a part of what makes the series fun for people to watch, but also something that maybe will make them think about it even after the humor wears off, is that everything that happens in it, except that it's exaggerated for humor, has a parallel in real life that's ultimately really not so funny.
Well, this may be an unfair question, because you as an artist are kind of the guy who's doing the observing and making us think about things and giving us a vehicle to laugh and to think deeper. But if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like our political landscape to look like? And I don't mean it, this side would win and everybody would be happy. I mean, you know, what would a healthy landscape opposing forces look like?
I definitely do not have any problem with people who are sort of center left or center right. Because the thing that usually characterizes people who are somewhat centrist, whether they tilt a little left or a little bit right, is that they know what they're talking about and can actually appreciate those things that are sound in the opposing point of view and realize that that somebody with a different point of view sometimes really has a point. The thing that I think is really the root of the difficulty that we're having in our country now is the low quality of our education and the this idea that whatever you think or whatever you feel is okay just because you think or feel it without having to really articulate it clearly or justify it or think it through. So although, you know, from my own point of view, I would prefer a more left-leaning government, I could live with a slightly more, you know, centrist or even slightly tilted a little bit, you know, right of center, although not too much, if it were thoughtful and people could sensibly and thoughtfully talk to each other, and if instead of getting votes by saying something that is either completely meaningless or just completely false, that had some substance to it that people could really engage with. I'm not sure if that's really responsive to your question, but
yeah,
but
no, I think that's really astute. One of the things that, and I'd love for you to comment on it, is kind of ironic, is that even in the one episode of Dumb Luck, you get such a sense of Aaron and his point of view. And in many ways, the politicians we watch, we don't get much more. I mean, it's, you know, we're fed, you know, it's the soundbite time and it's the reality TV influence and all those things coming in that are making the population make its decisions. I mean, the way it is. So, but Josh, I wanted to go further. What is your objective in this series? What life do you want it to have? We have a lot of series come on that talk to Garrett and I, and a lot of times they're looking to, you know, sort of be a pilot for another version of themselves, mm-hmm. or, you know, that type of thing. Where do you see this going with it? I mean, it's just so well written and so well done.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I was talking with my co-writer Leighton Strout about this just 2 nights ago, and we were talking about whether the series will have a life after this after the ten episodes that we've planned out. And it, certainly, if we get enough of a viewership, that it's the kind of thing that could definitely go on. But my conception of it, when I first thought of it back in January, was really just that it would be this self-contained 10-episode thing that would create a space in which to think about what we're really doing and talking about in our real-life politics. Just that is made a little easier to think about because it's in the context of humor. So I really did envision this just as being its own thing. I didn't create it with the expectation that it will become something else or something bigger or lead to something else. This really is its own thing. But again, if there's enough of a viewership that people are watching it and they're really starting to become attached to the characters, I have enough of a sense of who these characters are as people that I could write 100 episodes of it and I never get tired of it.
Well, and what for you? Because I mean, you're a model, an actor, a writer. What is your next dream for, you know, your own self-expression?
I love to act. At one of the somebody recently asked me what I loved about it so much, and which caused me to think about it. And What I love about acting is it's the opportunity to inhabit another person and to be able to feel what it's like to be someone else, and to be in touch with that other humanity. So I don't know why this is, but I always get cast in somewhat creepy roles. I'm not sure if that says something about me. but even then, you know, you can. You know, I can always, even somebody who's really, there was a role that I was casting a couple of years ago in a horror movie, although ultimately it didn't get made, but it was a character who was a child molester. And even as horrible as this person was with what he was doing, I could still get in touch with that person's essential humanity. I mean, because there are the things that people do and who they are, but there's also that kernel that we all have that make us human. And there's something so really special about acting, to be able to allow somebody else to live through you.
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of character actors and they've said that exact same thing, that they've got to find that core. Well, Josh, we want to thank you. And I think Garrett's been, kind of nursing his microphone there to try to make it work
so it's not I don't think it's going to happen tonight, so we're going to try. But
actually, you sound great right now. So.
Yeah,
okay,
nice.
Well, there you go. And Josh, I promise we're going to set a date and we're going to go split a leaf of lettuce and share a cup of water too. So one of these days, super soon, we're going to go hang out.
Okay, we'll have some watercress and water.
I love it. That's totally what.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really enjoy your show, and this is really a special opportunity for me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome back
really
anytime.
Can't wait to see the next episode.
Thanks. So July 5th. Subscribe and give me any feedback. I'd love to hear what you think.
Right on. Great. Thanks, Josh. Have a great night.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Okay.
And bye, everybody else who's listening right now, I would try to make it really easy for everybody. There is a link on the show page right there for you to go and click Dumb Luck, and it's going to take you right there to the YouTube page, and you can watch episode one, and they've got some other trailers and other fun stuff as well. So subscribe to that, and you'll be seeing the new episode on July 5th. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, it'll be Rob and I bantering wittyisms with Leon Acord, the writer and producer and star of Old Dogs and New Tricks. Here's a shameless plug for my album. Go buy it tonight. Hey, everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding. coffee today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the queen bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Now, thanks to Rob for doing all of the heavy lifting when we had Josh Ballinger on just a little bit ago talking about Dumb Luck, his new web series that's out. Episode 1 is out right now. You can go click the link and take a look. I'm thinking that my microphone might be working.
It is.
Oh, hallelujah. That's all I can say. So with that, we're going to welcome our next guest. It's like, you know, we're on just like a revolver here. We're just going boom, 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 boom. But God bless America, we've got Leon Acord here tonight to tell us about Old Dogs New Tricks. He's got a brand new debut this Saturday, and we can't wait to hear all about it. Leon, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Garrett. How are you? Nice to meet you, Rob.
Nice meeting you, too.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm watching you, so I feel like a stalker. So
should feel like a stalker.
Yeah. You're nobody until somebody stalks you.
Watching these four guys in this show, it's like, so.
Oh, God, well, thank you for watching.
It's been a hot minute since we've had the last season out, and now we're working a movie on Saturday. What's going on with the guys?
Well, you have to tune in on Saturday to find out. It's we catch up with them 6 months after the cliffhanger on the very morning that Obama made that famous speech announcing the Supreme Court decision legalizing marriage equality, gay marriage. And we see how they react or overreact to the news. I remember myself, it was just a very emotional day. And I remember pretty, like, 5-10 minutes after the speech, like, we've got to cover this in the show. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy with it.
Leon, can you second year for your life? What did you do when you heard that announcement?
I was in San Francisco. My husband was working a gig up there, and I was actually kind of suffering from writer's block. So I decided to go up and try to shake off the cobwebs, and he woke me up that morning saying, "We won."
Oh, wow.
I'm like, well, what? And I immediately jumped up and watched the news, and it was, I'm really glad we were in San Francisco. I'd lived there for 20 years, and it really is, you know, the gay capital of America. Sorry, New York. And we ran to the Castro and just kind of just soaked up the atmosphere of, I get goosebumps still just thinking about it. I guess it's just because of my age. You know, I'm of a generation. I remember when gay men thought, you know, marriage, why would anyone want to get married? To see that not only turn around, but the fact that we've gotten society to turn around with us is mind-blowing to me.
So, Leon, can you set up the show a little bit for people who haven't seen it before? You know, what is the premise and the idea behind Old Dogs, New Tricks?
Absolutely. It is it's a comedy, dramedy, serialized. It's set in West Hollywood. It's about four middle-aged gay best friends living in a town that's, well, West Hollywood. Its nickname is Boys Town. They're all kind of work in show business. So in addition to just kind of exploring their friendship and their love lives, we kind of see them reacting to the kind of inherent ageism that exists in Hollywood and show business and in real life, really. But again, it's a comedy. We laugh a lot at it and have a lot of fun. Let's see. We've been called one of my favorite descriptions of the show. I wish I could remember which blog said it. They said we were a mix of Golden Girls meets Dynasty. And if you can imagine that, I think it's a pretty
compliment.
Accurate description. Yeah, I totally take it as a compliment. Two of my favorite shows.
Oh my. Yeah. So what's it like getting the gang back together to do a mini movie like this compared to doing your regular, you know, full-blown season?
Well, we have, you know, we have our fourth and final season written, and it just, as we were raising money for it, realized that, oh gosh, it's still going to take a while to raise this much money. And the first episode was this mini movie, so we just thought, well, let's shoot that sort of like how we did a WeHo Horror Story, a Halloween special we did before season three. And just, you know, give the fans like a 30-minute special episode to tide them over until we get it together for season four. It's, you know, it's kind of challenging. Our actors work all the time. And so that alone, even, you know, if I had $1 million in the bank, even that would be the challenge because it's such a talented cast. And you know, as such, they're always working. So it's always kind of like, can you work half a day this day and then 2 weeks from now show up on the morning of? But Steve Curtis, our line producer, I don't know. I call him the general because it's really like waging war. I don't know how he does it. Well, you've met him, Garrett. I mean,
he's so organized and just so efficient. And just, you know, he rules with a gentle touch, and he's just awesome to work with.
Totally. You know, when we were shooting our second season, we had this huge, epic two-part gay wedding episode. And one of our actors who was shooting in the morning, took a break and was going to come back that afternoon, actually got into a car accident before he came back. And Steve kept the news from me for hours. I don't know how he did it. And then when he finally told me that the actor wasn't going to be able to make it back that afternoon, he was like parental. He was so like, now, Leona, don't want you to panic, but there's been an incident. He's the best. We have the best crew. I mean, you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little awestruck. I just watched the latest rough cut of the special, and I'm feeling a little verklempt at just how lucky I am to work with all these talented people, the actors and the crew. And so forgive me if I'm being a little giddy.
I love that you're verklempt. Where are we going to see this on Saturday?
You can see it. If you don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you can just go to our website, which is odnt.tv, like old dogs, new tricks. odnt.tv is our website, and it'll be right there on the homepage.
Can you give us a brief on the four characters? Because I would have, if I was going to draw a comparison, I probably would have picked Sex and the City, which is one of my favorites.
Well, you know, that's what most people say, so I tend to let other people say that. That's another inspiration, another one of my favorite shows. I mean, it's great to be compared to that. I play Nathan Adler. He's a talent agent. He's kind of he's one of his shrinks called him Glue Guy. He's a really good friend. I think he's the one who keeps the group together. There's Brad King, played by Kurt Bonham, who is a one-hit wonder from the 80s who still lives life like he's 25. He's kind of a I have to be careful describing him because he's not an alcoholic and he's not a sex addict, but damn, he comes really close. And then
connoisseur.
Yes, he's actually Kurt Bonham, who plays him, says that he's a conservative hedonist, and that Brad's a full blown hedonist. Ross Stein, played by David Pevner, is a was the star of a TV series in the 90s, whose now kind of career has fallen on. He's kind of gone to the back burner and has been having some marital problems with his long-term spouse, played by Parnell Damon I can never get his name out once without stuff. Parnell Damon Marcano, there we go, who plays Neil Kelly. And then, it's Jeffrey Patrick Olsen, who plays Muscles, who's the fourth of the four old dogs, plays Muscles. He's a private personal trainer to the stars, and he's very old-fashioned, looking for love, refuses to put out until he meets Mr. Right. Well, in West Hollywood, you can imagine that's quite a... He kisses a lot of frogs. And my good friend Amanda Gary plays my executive assistant, Lydia. And and Bruce Hart is our frequent guest star, who plays my nemesis, Bruce Hart, Nelson Vanetti, who's kind of, how would I describe him? He's kind of like a comic Alexis, sort of, really. I mean, he's just
very
mean.
Like Alexis of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. And with a sense of humor like Alexis, I guess that's why I make the comparison, because he's mean, but he's funny about it. When I first created the character, he was just a bitch. And Bruce Hart is so good at making him funny and mean at the same time. I don't know how he does it. So that's pretty much the cast. It's about these four close friends and the people in their lives, their parents, their lovers, their just when I was watching it today, it's kind of blew my mind how it's kind of grown from just being about these four guys to being about the world that the four of them live in and the people in their lives. It's I'm beklempt, you guys.
Speaking of the world in which they live, where did you end up filming this mini movie at?
My house.
Yeah.
Well, no, we actually shot it in 2 days, a 25-minute movie in 2 days, which, I mean, speaks
crazy
to how brilliant my crew is. I mean, you were there. You saw how, they're the best.
Fast paced, awesome.
Fast paced, never a freak out, never. Arvin, our director, he directs a lot of the episodes. He sort of developed it for the web. He's amazing. I mean, he downplays it so much. I mean, he really is a genius who examines every scene from every possible angle and viewpoint. But you ask him about it, or you tell him that, and he's just like, I just make it up as I go. It's like, no, you can't. If he does, he's even more brilliant than I imagine. I'm sorry, what was the question? I'm just blathering again, you guys.
It's a great tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, where we shot. We shot one day at a office, AVE Talent, where Nelson and Nathan try to work together. And then one day at my house with my husband, which doubles as Ross's house. We made a cafe in the backyard. We and again, a tribute to our great crew that they actually made it. It looks like a cafe. It looks like four different residences. It's I shouldn't have said that. That's like a magician giving away one of the secrets.
Uh-oh,
but it's just, it's so amazing to me. I can't help myself from bragging about them. They're amazing, amazing crew.
So, you know, in doing an ensemble piece like this and writing the characters and the way you wrote them in the very beginning, what characters have surprised you as they've evolved that you felt inspired to take them in a different way that maybe you didn't envision originally?
Probably Muscles, played by Jeffrey Patrick Olson. And that's just because he's such a good actor. I never really wanted him to be dumb, but he's kind of, I mean, if we're going to compare ourselves to Golden Girls, he's the Rose, you know. And the great thing that Jeffrey has done really from the beginning is not play him as dumb, but play him as pure. You know, the reactions to circumstances are similar because he's like shocked that people could be so base and you know, just so outrageous. So that's really, that's been the biggest kind of shift. But, you know, all the actors have kind of, because they're such good actors, have kind of led me to sort of, not necessarily change direction, but sort of shift course towards what I know they can, I mean, they can all do anything, but I mean, I know what I want to see them do, I guess that's what I'd say.
I think it was in season one, there's a situation with one of the characters where he was, you know, falling in love with the guy and, you know, being, you know, saving himself, you know, they were waiting and waiting to beat him and everything else. And then, I mean, this was sort of, it was like a situation that seemed very gay oriented that heterosexuals probably wouldn't relate to. And when they finally got to it, it was sort of like they were too much alike.
You're being very diplomatic the way you're phrasing that.
So I'm used to my other show, which is totally G-rated. I can take a little more liberties on this show, but I don't.
Sexually, they preferred playing the same role sexually.
Right.
How's that? Does that work?
There you go. And that is kind of really a true thing, though. I mean,
it does happen. Absolutely. In fact, you know, shortly after that episode came out, I was having Starbucks with a friend of mine. We were sitting on the sidewalk, you know, outside in West Hollywood, and two different people came up during the course of an hour and said they watched the show, and, thank you for doing that. We've never seen that in a movie or TV show before, and it happens all the time to us. And it's like one of them was actually a couple who actually, similar to the characters, had figured out a way to make it work for them.
Make it work, because there are situations, and I wanted to know what other ones you sort of discovered as you're thinking this out. But I've had to describe to heterosexual friends, it's like, okay, here's the difference between going into a heterosexual bar is a man sees two people, two women he's attracted to. And, you know, he may be like, who do I approach? Which one am I, you know, that type of thing. In a gay bar, you've got this added dynamic that the two people could actually see each other and, you know, leave you in the dust. I mean, it's like there are these added nuances to being gay that, you know, just practical things.
Yeah, people in gay bars should have to wear T-shirts that say, back in the old days, you know, the whole hanky thing back in the 70s. I mean, I think that was, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm, you know, other than, you know, short of carrying business cards saying, you know, your preferences.
some of those were pretty shocking. It's like the guy started walking away that you were, like, really into and kind of going, oh, my, uh-oh.
I know. Oh, he's really cute. He does what? No. I think younger generations, though, are kind of, I don't know, I'm just guessing because I'm not in the younger generation, but I'm thinking that's kind of not as big a deal with younger people, maybe. I don't know. I have to find some younger people and ask them. Tell me about your
sex life. Well, let me tell you what we're all thinking as the younger generation. You have to be able to be flexible as you know, if you're going to be one of the cool kids nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's, and this is something I wish I would have been wise enough to incorporate into that storyline in that season. I think a lot of it's chemistry too. I think,
yeah.
I mean, without getting too personal or too detailed, I think we are different people with different people, and what you might do with or to one person would totally turn your stomach to think about doing it with somebody else. Well, not turn your stomach, that's a bit extreme, but you know what I mean. I mean, you have different responses.
Well, I've had some that would
people.
Turn my stomach, Leon.
Yeah,
so
I have too.
That's
let's
a
be
fair
honest.
Analogy. You're so diplomatic. I love you. Oh my God.
Well, it's just the frogs.
So,
Leon, lots of frogs.
So,
Leon,
as you get ready to wrap up our time, I think Rob's going to ask you one more question.
I understand. So this is the final season, and why end it?
I'm tired. I'm old. It's just 4 seasons, I think, is enough. I mean, frankly, in web series years, like dog years, it's pretty, I only can think of Where the Bears Are, which is just finished shooting their 5th season. And that's like outrageous to be around 4 years. Is kind of, we're like the web TV equivalent to Gunsmoke, I think, or Knots Landing. But a lot of it is just, it's because we're crowdfunded. We're funded by our audience every year, going back and saying, could we please have some more? Like Oliver, it just, I'm from Indiana. I hate asking people for money. So that's really the biggest part of it. Also, the show gets more expensive each season. But also,
sure.
I've written a final season that I'm really proud of. I mean, if God forbid we can't raise the money and this mini movie on Saturday ends up being the big finish, I'm happy with it because I'm that proud of it. But I'm really proud of the final season script, and I really hope we give the characters the proper send-off. I really want to do a proper series finale, you know.
We will send out the jujus to make sure that comes through for you.
Please do. I'd appreciate all the jujus I can get.
Well, Rob took my questions I was going to ask. So with that, Leon, any final thoughts for the listeners, either about what's coming up in the future for you, past Old Dogs, New Tricks, anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I do want to tell your fans, particularly Garrett, that they should tune in on Saturday to see Garrett, who...
Yay!
As for what I'm going to do next, while we're raising money, I actually have been talking to a director I worked with, a theater director, stage director I worked with in San Francisco a few years ago, who's planning to do a play here, so... I'm hoping that, you know, he hasn't offered me a specific part, but he said we're going to work together. So I'm going to hold him to it because he's kind of a genius. I can say his name.
I can't.
And Ronnie Larson. There, I've said it. He's very controversial, but I love working with him because he's totally out there. So
right,
keep your fingers crossed, and then, you know, of course, raising money and hopefully shooting the 4th season within the next calendar year. I hope. our viewers are very patient, so but there are limits.
There are limits. Well, I can't wait for the Saturday movie, and it's Old Dogs New Tricks. ODNT.TV is the place
Correct.
To see it. And Leon, on the show page, I've already put a link to your Facebook fan page and the website, so people will easily be able to go and take a look at that on Saturday. Is there a specific time that it shows up, or is it just starting anytime
it'll be
on
actually,
Saturday?
It'll be Friday at midnight Pacific time. So if you
okay.
want to stay up till midnight in California or 3 a.m. on the East Coast, it'll be up then.
Right on. I can't wait. Leon, thank you for coming here. I'm really grateful to you. I just love having you on the show. You're welcome anytime. And,
I'd
love to have you back.
I love doing your show, Garrett. And Rob, it's nice meeting you. And
thank you for
having me, and I hope you enjoy the show. We had a great time putting it together.
Thanks, Leon. Say hi to your husband.
Will do. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a cool guy Leon is. I love having him on the show. He's always involved in doing something unique and interesting, and he's working with all these amazing, talented people. So it's he not only is a great friend, but he's somebody who is just a creative kind of a fountain of – I would say fountain of youth, but he's always just always creating and always doing something new. So it's fun to have him be here on the show. But we got about 8 minutes left, Rob, and I know you've got stuff coming up on out in Santa Cruz. So I want to hear what's coming up on your show. And I've got the Friday night dance party tomorrow. We need to talk about, and then anything in current events.
Well, let me do the out in Santa Cruz this Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can hear it on www.ksco.com or www.outinsantacruz.com. We have a really very unique guest. I'm really looking forward to talking to her. Her name is Shivas Moore. She's an American lesbian who just wrote a book. She's been embedded and studying Muslim culture, and she has been very much on the forefront of talking about how Muslims are maligned and, you know, a lot of the things that are happening in our political scene today. There are new calls for anti-Arab policies and all that sort of stuff. The book that she wrote is First Tie Your Camel, Then Trust God. And she wants to talk to us about what it is like in the Arab countries and a Muslim society, and clear up misperceptions. So it should
wow.
be really,
you,
really
where
interesting.
Where do you get your guests, Rob? Because you get, like, the coolest folks ever.
Well, actually, you do, too. You are such a treat because, I mean, you treat me so well on our show where I just kind of walk in and you go, you know, here's these interesting people I've lined up for us, and I'm like, yay, and off we go.
And off we go.
That, yeah, I'm more the recruiter on that. And I have publicists I work with and, it referrals and that type of thing, I just love what you and I do. I love what I do there. It's like, it's just really a treat all the way around.
I agree. And it sounds like we have this mutual admiration society. We're really not trying to do that because we really do just enjoy the heck out of this. This is an hour. It's funny because Rob and I don't get a chance to talk during the week, and we do the show. So this is kind of like our catch up. What do you do, Rob? You know, like we got to get in the hour. And then frequently after the show's over, you know, we'll call each other. I can't do that tonight, but frequently we'll call each other after the show and be like, you know, so we're on the phone another half an hour past the show because we just have, you know, more to talk about. So
right. We're tempted to tape those because they could be great shows in themselves. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But no, I don't want to inflict that on anybody. Plus, I tell you all my dirty laundry off the air, too.
Oh,
so
me
I don't
too.
Want to
yeah.
So Friday night dance party tomorrow. We're going to start the show at 6 p.m. and that's going to be an hour of your request first, and then the second hour live from Sydney, Australia. We're welcoming Bruce Wayne, the Christian songwriter, and the style of music that he plays would be considered very popish, top 40 radio, and he'll be our special hour number two. So I'm very excited to have Bruce Wayne live in Australia as an hour number two. That will be really cool. So next week, by the way, we have an open show, but I'm going to tell you that I've got some people that have some really cool things that are coming up, and I need to fill in some slots, and I haven't told Rob that yet, but we'll be doing that. But a lot of stuff happening in the next couple of weeks on the program here, so I can't wait for you guys to be, you know, coming back to the show. Rob, I don't know if you noticed this, but and it's not because, you know, you've got other things going on, and this just pings my alerts all the time on Facebook. To everyone that has joined the Rated LGBT Radio Facebook page in the last few weeks, where you're coming from, welcome, and please tell all your friends that they be tuning in at this time every Thursday night. We love having you be on the show, and I just think it's so cool. And I'm probably getting like people a day that are saying, I'd like to join Rated LGBT on Facebook.
I'm going to repeat you a little bit on that because unfortunately your mic is doing the bad thing again. We couldn't hear all of it. But you were talking about our Rated LGBT Radio page on Facebook, which is a membership page. You asked to join. We have you join. We love having you people there. We're getting into the hundreds and hundreds that are joining us there and can have conversations and, and we put out the show news so you know what's coming, but join us on Facebook.
There we go. Am I better now?
There we go.
This is all I've done is fix my microphone all show.
Yes, you are better now. Yeah.
I apologize, everybody. I have this fancy microphone, and I've got these really cool headphones, and I plug them in together, and then for some reason I want to make it come on an orange string, which is can on a string, and Rob's up the coast, so I apologize, but it's lovely having you here. So he's on one of the indie charts called Hottest New Artist to please request my song Unlike You, and it debuted for the month of June at number one because of you. So we're going to kind of round out the last couple of minutes of the show with a preview. If you'd like the single, again, I'm shilling for the album, folks. Papa's a new person he needs to buy. Go with that GarrettMiller.com and buy the album Blonde Jesus. There's 11 original tracks on there, including the title track. And then Gay Wedding, which is a remake of Billy Idol's White Wedding. I hope you love it as much as I do. It's done very well on the indie charts also. And then Rob and I will see you right here next week, the same bat time and same bat channel on Rated LGBT Radio. Have a great night, everybody.
Just the other day, it looks good in black and white. Memories of love, they dim over time. We never were quite right. Sometimes it's just storm clouds above that drift into our sight. Tears fell like rain, ocean waves crashing, passing by in the night. The lightning made you blind. Unlike you, I see me. The man I cannot friend, the man I can't pretend to be. Unlike you, I see me. Time I cannot spend chasing after make-believe. Back to square one would be so easy, reliving all those blacked out days. Could I make it all up, fake it all once again? You think I'd finally...
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.